Hi, this is Marty Bell.
And this is the AK-47, Allison K.
And we are The Hex.
You're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
Hey, this is Jimmy Street, host of the Live and in Color with Wolfie D podcast. Hear the life and times of professional wrestler Wolfie D. From his time in the territories with PG-13 to his time in WWE, ECW, WCW, TNA, and more. Nothing is off limits and nothing will be held back. Thanks again for tuning in. Here he is, Wolfie D.
All right, everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome once again to Live and in Color with Wolfie D and my man Jimmy across the street. Jimmy, we got ladies coming over.
I know. Act appropriately.
Be cool. Don't, you know, using a lot of profanity and, you know, try to be a gentleman, Jimmy. It's Gentleman Jimmy. That's your
name. No, I'm the hustler.
Gentleman Jimmy across the street.
Oh, man, you can't put that on me. I'm the hustler, man. I'm the hustler.
That was last week.
Yeah, that was last week. Gentleman Jimmy. It's like Gentleman Chris, right? Come on.
Yeah.
Hello.
How's everything going on across the street there, buddy?
It is going on, man. Yeah going on. Going to Las Vegas this weekend. Yeah.
Right. That's so right.
Gonna kind of
a little late for the Super Bowl, Jimmy.
I know. I knew we shouldn't have bought those tickets from that guy. He told us it was this weekend, man. I'm swearing. Anyway, yeah.
A lot of scammers out there. A lot of scammers gotta have it.
Swivel. I know
your shit, man.
I know. It's horrible.
So was it a work, Jimmy? Do you think it was a work, the Super Bowl?
Oh man, it's all a work, bro.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
I've always said, man, if it's a work, I feel like it's the owners and coaches, because it don't take nothing to make a bad call or, you know, call a bad play when, you know, I don't know. Who knows, man? But there's so many people involved, so much money involved. It's hard to say either way. But I enjoyed it. See, I'm not like some of the wrestling fans that want to, you know, dog everything with wrestling and all that, you know. With football, I love football. If it's a work, I don't give a shit. It entertains
me. Right. Yeah, no, I mean that, and that makes sense. Now, what was the deal with Kelce yelling at Andy Reid? Like,
just heat of the moment, man. I mean, he played sports.
I should have been in on that play. Is that what he was saying?
Put me back in. I don't know. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Either way, it's like, who cares? It was a good game. I was entertained, like I said. No complaints here, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun.
And speaking of shows, March the 8th in Glasgow, Kentucky at the Crow's Nest Bar, myself and Chase Stevens are going to, you know, we had to reschedule the little comedy / storytelling gig we're going to do. So March the 8th, it's a Friday night. They're in Glasgow. Me and Chase are going to be doing road stories. That's coming up. And then the next night, Chase is actually on the show too, but he'll be wrestling, I would assume. And I'll be there signing autographs. I got Scott Steiner coming to sign autographs. I heard that Hillbilly Jim's going to be there too. So that should be nice. I haven't seen him in many, many years.
That's awesome. Yeah. Don't go messing with a country boy there.
So. Yeah. So anyway, those are my two upcoming events. But other than that, man, we got the Hex today.
Yes.
Which is a cool pickup. At Rod Hicks's wedding party, and you know, and I had met them. Like I said, I think I told you this. I met them at Squared Circle one year, but met Marty again at Rod's wedding party, and that was how I kind of made this one happen, man. So this will be cool. We've got a female tag team on. It's another first for us.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think they've done a lot of fun things, but I think with this crew, the future is what's to come for them. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, even though the NWA World Tag Team Women's Champions and Knockout Champions, I mean, all kinds of champions, but these girls, you know, I feel like, yeah, I'm thinking something big is coming for them, I'm hoping. So
that'd be good, man.
Yeah, they've got it together for sure, as far as on the professional level. So
Right.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Well, let's get them on the line and let's talk some Hex.
Why wait? Let's participate. All right. We'll be right back after these messages with the Hex.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey folks, to get your official Live and in Color with Wolfie D merchandise, go to prowrestlingtees.com/livewolfied. Check it out.
If you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D on Apple Podcast and like what you're hearing, go ahead and leave a 5-star rating. And while you're at it, write a review. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you'd like to hear in the future. It's very important to us and always appreciated. Thanks again.
All right, folks, we are back once again, Live and in Color, Wolfie D. And Jimmy, we got ladies in the house. I hope you're dressed professionally and aren't just sitting around in your underwear or anything like that.
No, definitely not.
Did you clean up? Did you vacuum?
Yes, everything's ready. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Just want to make sure that everything's on the up and up, man. You know, we don't have a whole lot of females come on. It's usually just dude wrestlers that want to talk shit with us. But today, I'm happy to announce that we have Marty Bell and Allison Kay, and they are the Hex. What's up, ladies?
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm stoked about this, y'all.
So. Yeah.
Yeah,
Jimmy don't get stoked a lot. He brings that word out of the 90s occasionally, and man, that just means he's really happy.
Okay. Well, we are super happy to be here. Super happy to be talking to you guys, and looking forward to sharing some fun stories.
Yeah. Awesome.
Absolutely. And I want to thank Marty, especially, I think I met both you guys at Squared Circle a couple of years ago. And, but Marty, I happened to see at, my friend Rod Hicks, and then, his wife's wedding, party. And so we kind of made this happen there at the wedding party, didn't we?
Yeah. It was really nice to walk in and kind of see some familiar faces. We really didn't know a lot of the family members that were there. So it was nice to have somebody, and Wolfie kept us entertained all night. So it was definitely a really fun time.
I'm glad I could be of service.
I wish we could have recorded that.
That's awesome. Oh yeah. There were definitely some really good stories, maybe some that can be repeated, but sure. Some really good, fun stories. It was definitely a really fun time.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate that. And like I said, same kind of for me, because I really don't know the families and stuff that well either. I knew a few of his friends that were there and things, but other than that, it was, especially being the guy walking around on the walker, and I know everybody's looking at me anyway. Yeah. So.
The walker with the fanny pack. The walker with the fanny pack. Please don't forget
that's right.
That. Yeah.
Like a hood ornament, baby.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's talk a little bit of wrestling. I want to get a background. We'll kind of do this like, I guess, Marty, you could go first. And I just want to know, as a kid, who were your influences? What got you started? And don't go past too much after Train. And then we'll go to Allison on that.
Okay. I think I can speak for both of us when I say this, but, you know, we're Attitude Era kids. Yeah. We grew up watching a lot of tag team wrestling. I think both of us were. I know you asked us, like, tell me about you, and I'm like, I'm going to tell you about us.
That's fine.
I do think it's pretty similar. I think we did. We both grew up watching a lot of tag team wrestling. I was a big fan of the Hardy Boys, obviously. I say obviously because if you know us, you know that about us.
Right.
And then, like, you know, the Dudley Boys and Edge and Christian. I feel like that kind of is like some of my first memories of wrestling is that, but then also the women, just growing up watching women like Mickie James, watching Trita. I meant to say Lish and I'm trying to say Trish and Lita, but I'm just making them one. So
yeah, Lish. I like
you know,
it.
Yes, that is their new name. So I think it was a lot of that. It was a lot of just watching people being insane and kind of being like, that looks fun. I want to do that.
So those were the influences for both of you. And then how did you find your way into it?
Do you have anything else you want to say? Okay, I'm just going to talk for both of us. No, it's fine. Because I do think that we did grow up watching a lot of the same things. It's really interesting. I think Allison and I were just meant to be best friends. No matter if we hadn't ended up in wrestling, we would have somehow found our way to each other, because our lives, like, we grew up in such different situations. We grew up in different states completely. Yeah. But I think our lives have always kind of mirrored each other. And like, so I do think a lot of our childhood was very similar, but I still do think, I'm sure you had other people that you liked, because everybody knows my obsession with Mickey. I feel like that you love her, but you're not as obsessed with her as I am. So I'm sure you had other people that you grew up watching as well.
Yeah. No one is as obsessed with Mickey as you are. Like, no one is going to hold a candle to you. You're both Attitude Era babies. Love the Hardy Boys, Lita. It's funny because I watch a lot of Sunday Night Heat now on my Twitch stream.
Yeah.
And watching it back, it's so crazy to see. Because, you know, Sunday Night Heat started in 1998. So this is like pretty much when I started watching wrestling as a preteen or whatever. And I'm just looking at some of the people that I was obsessed with at that time. You know, like, sometimes you watch wrestling, you watch it back, and you're like, oh, this actually wasn't good. Like, yeah.
Exactly.
But then other things you watch back, and you're like, oh, I didn't care about this person at the time, but they're really good.
Yeah.
So now I can watch it back to different life. And now after saying that, I feel like I can't say who my influences were, because now I'm going to kill myself.
I feel like that is pretty. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, but the Hardy Boys and Lita, I mean, were amazing and still are, even when I watched it back. So. But yeah, I watched it as a kid, actually, with my dad. I don't really remember that time. I remember more of watching it as like a teenager with my siblings. And I just always wanted to be a wrestler. Like, I remember writing myself a letter when I was probably like 12, 13. And I remember I went into detail about like how I was going to become a wrestler. And I'm like talking to my future self of like, okay, did you become a wrestler? Like, what's up? And I wish I could find that letter, but I have not found it. It has somewhere in my mom's garage.
That's pretty cool.
I want to find it, but I remember writing that, and I remember my mom being like, okay, yeah, like, you know, you'll grow out of it. It's fine. Like, she wasn't trying to discourage me per se, but she was just like, you know, she saw my obsession, and I'm like, I'm going to be a wrestler. She's like, okay, honey, that's great. You know, like, sure.
Sure. Take out the trash.
Exactly. She would wash the dishes and shut the hell up. But no, she wasn't like that. But to her credit, I did actually fall out of wrestling a little bit in high school because, you know, started playing sports.
Right. Yeah.
Developing crushes on people that were in real life and not on the TV.
Exactly.
And I did fall out for a little bit. And then when I was like probably 19, 20, I was like, what the hell do I want to do with my life? Because this ain't it. Whatever I'm doing now, this ain't it. Like, I went to college, hated it, absolutely hated it. I was like, I don't want to do anything here. Like, there's nothing that they are offering me that I want to do for the rest of my life. As interesting as I find the subjects, I just don't want to do this as a career. And I just thought back to the only thing I ever remember ever wanting to be was a wrestler. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to look into a wrestling school.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Very cool talking about the Hardys. I'll have to send you a link. I think I saw it on YouTube. Somebody sent it to me. I had no idea the match even existed. I have a lot of matches that I don't remember. That's how old I've gotten now. They'll be like, I'll tell you that story a different time. But the Hardy Boys, it was like they had short hair. They were they were green as they could be. And me and Jamie, they were building us up to work with Dirty White Boy and Tracy Smothers. But it was just a quick little TV match, and we squashed and everything. And it's like, looking at them is like, I can't believe that they, you know, went on to do what they did. Because I guarantee you, that night when I was working them, I wasn't thinking how good they were, because they weren't that good.
Right. They're probably like in high school. Or Jess was probably still in high school. Like, they were pretty young.
Probably. Yeah. Well, I don't know what year. It would probably have been around somewhere about 90, probably about 95, maybe 96 at the latest.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's funny. You do look back on some stuff and think, wow, this is terrible. And you know, thing, I used to hate as a kid. I hated women's wrestling. I couldn't stand it. But if you look at the women's wrestling of when I was a kid, as opposed to now, it's completely different. The girls are so much more athletic. Right. They do, you know, that was my argument. It was like, they don't even do the stuff that the guys do. Well, now the girls do everything that the guys do, plus some more.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Sometimes even better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say this, and I'm sorry, girl, I don't want to cut y'all off, but this is the golden era of women's wrestling right now. It is. So if you that's my personal opinion. So basically, you think of Ric Flair, Magnum TA, Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, Road Warriors, Rock and Roll Express, all that as the golden era for men's. This, I think personally, is the golden era of women's wrestling right now. I think this is how good y'all have gotten. And I'm sorry to say it like that. You know, there were talented girls, like you said, Lita, Trish, you know, all that. And then even Wendy Richter. Yeah, Chad. There you go. Exactly. But right now, y'all are just, I'm fired up about it. I watched a recent WWE Super Show. I went to us, and the girls were better than the guys. I'm just saying it. They hit harder, and it was something awesome. So I'm going to shut up now. Y'all talk.
No, you're good. I think a lot of that, though, I try to keep in mind, too, that now we're given free rein. We're able to be ourselves. We're able to go out there and do everything that we should have been able to do all this time.
Right.
A lot of those women back then were allowed to, especially in the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
You know, they were forced to do the
bra and panties. Yeah.
Exactly. Wrestling this turkey gravy for Thanksgiving. You
right.
know, they were given 2 minutes to be in bikinis, and they weren't really given the training. They were brought in to be models.
Yeah.
So they worked with what was given, but slowly but surely, they were able to do more and more and more, and then have paved the way for us to get where we are now.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Let me ask you your opinion on this. So you see a lot of it now, and I'm telling you, in 1993, me and Jamie worked with Miss Texas, who became Jacqueline. And man, let me tell you, she hit harder than a lot of guys I've wrestled, I promise.
Yeah, she's a badass.
That was some of the first that I recall any kind of intergender type matches. And we did it in a way where, you know, she wasn't matching us move for move, even though, you know, at that point in my life and Jamie's, that we weren't that much bigger than her, but we were still as like dudes and a woman. Okay. Now I feel like there's a lot of, and China was an exception to the rule, but there's a lot of, especially on these super indies, you see guys versus girls, and the girls are a lot littler than the guys, and they're doing all this stuff to them. What's your opinion on, like, the realism part of it? Do you think some of it just goes a bit too far?
I think it's a...
Go ahead, Marty.
Go ahead, because I feel like you have more experience with intergender wrestling. I don't do a lot of intergender wrestling. I never really have. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the times when I've done it, it's been for, like, a story where it's been like, I'm going to wrestle the GM of the show that I've been shooting with,
yeah.
And, you know... So it becomes a story. I feel like I don't have a lot of experience with that. But I also, when I first started, I was really small. So I was always like the smaller girl. And I think it's different. Like, I wasn't seen as like a powerhouse, where I feel like, AK, you've always been jacked.
Right.
Like, you've always been a freaking powerhouse.
Right,
so I feel like maybe you have a little bit more to add to this.
It's funny because I was just talking about this today, about the realism and things like that in terms of professional wrestling. I'm all for intergender wrestling. And yes, I do think I have a different perspective because I'm a bigger girl. I'm 5'10". You know, I tower over a lot of these guys. I mm-hmm. have trained in mixed martial arts. I continuously train in jujitsu. I beat up men in my gym every day. Like, it's not, to me, that's not crazy. It's not crazy to think of like, oh, a woman beating a man. And so even more so in professional wrestling, it's like, yes, with the entertainment aspect, I don't think every single thing in wrestling has to be completely realistic. I think we have room to stretch a little bit, you know, like you do in the movies. So it doesn't really bother me to see a small girl wrestling like a bigger guy. I think that it can be done poorly, and I think it can be done well, just like every type of wrestling.
Yeah.
And I do prefer some realism. That's just my preference. But I don't know. I think that there are different matchups that are entertaining, and I think that that's okay. It doesn't always have to be like, oh, this, in a shoot, this is what would happen. You know what I mean? And that comes from someone who likes suits, who likes to, you know what I mean? Like that, likes that style and likes to work snug and things like that. But I just think I'm a little open-minded when it comes to that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't agree with the argument that it's unrealistic. I just don't agree with that.
Yeah. I don't mean to say that it's unrealistic, but I think the key point in what you said and what I will agree with is like, yes, it can be done poorly and it can be done well. You know, it just had with anything for me, it's called make it make sense, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just interesting because wrestling is held to such an interesting standard because like, you know, when people are like, oh, it's fake. Like, okay, do you go up to the actor who played Thor and tell him that he's not really Thor?
Right,
like, do you do that? So it is interesting. I think because people, I don't know. I think because you have characters that feel a little bit more real life. You get to see us more often than you see like Thor. You see Thor, he does one movie a year where you can go watch wrestling 52 weeks out of the year.
Right,
But also, I think we also have to remember that literally one of the biggest characters that wrestling has ever produced is dead. Like it is a dead man. Literally the Undertaker is dead.
But for us,
we're like, you know, so like we can suspend belief or disbelief when it comes to that and be like, he's the dead man. He's the best. But then be like, oh, that girl's going to beat up a guy. I just don't know. I just don't see it. You know? Wow. So I think,
boom.
Yeah.
I think, you know, but I do agree. I think, yeah, you know, I'm just gonna leave that there, that little nugget there. But I do agree where I think, I like some of the matches that I've done, I've had so much fun with because it has been like the cat and mouse type of thing. I do think, like AK said, there are so many ways that the matches can be put on well. It's just about the stories. At the end of the day, that's what wrestling is about. It's about the stories and how can we tell a good story? Can we tell a good story of where this 5'4" girl is going to beat up on the 6'5" guy? Maybe. And if we can, then hell yeah, let's do it.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, one of my favorite intergender matches I had was against Ethan Page at AIW. They were doing a whole Battle of the Sexes show. So all the matches were intergender. Most of the matches were couples.
Okay.
Everyone just assumed we were, first of all, we're like, no, we're like the one match that's not, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend beating each other up. But we wanted to do something different. I'm like, okay, everyone on this card is going to be like, it's about their relationship, or it's the girl is small.
Go do the dishes.
The guy is a misogynist, and the girl is going to be, exactly, he's going to be like, go in the kitchen, da da da. Flipped it. And especially because I'm tall, like we're kind of like the same height, I think. He might be a little taller than me. But we flipped it to, I was like the creep. Like I was creeping on him. I was like trying to look down his trunk. Like we just completely,
ma'am.
Different, but you know, consensually, but
of course, that's a thing, right? You got to say that now, so it makes sense.
Yeah,
and I didn't know Wolfie was going to hit the intergender question so early, I thought we were going to build to that, like on a show, you know. But we have some good friends, the Carnies. Both of us are friends with the Carnies, and they do it a lot. And I was like, we got to get them on the show to talk about that because we want to get – it's not like we're cutting it down. We just want to learn. We're like the boomers that want to learn. You know what I mean?
And
I mean that sincerely because I want to learn, like, you know, because you're right. You just put a perspective on it that I've never – even thought of. The Undertaker is not a dead man.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I think that answers the question, actually.
I think that's the best analogy. I also think it is very difficult for us as wrestlers who are now in the social media era. That is something that's very tricky for us because we want to be like, look, it's just like the movies. You wouldn't say this to an actor, but at the same time, we try to keep kayfabe for the most part. So it's like, how do you keep kayfabe and also tell people, wait, but this isn't really me. That's not really me talking. That's the character.
Right.
It's very difficult for us because like I was trained in an old school way where I do want to keep kayfabe all the time, but it is very difficult nowadays because when you tweet something, people think that is really you and it's hard to differentiate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's tough.
Well, so we have something in common, and it is James Mitchell. Father James
was
my mentor in TNA when I was a Disciples of the New Church, and I saw that you guys, he was your manager at TNA as well. Talk about my boy, Jim Mitchell.
Oh, Father.
Where to start?
I promise you, there's not many people that got the stories that I got, but they will not be shared.
I know that we are laughing because we are both thinking about the exact same thing. Should we tell that story?
I think it's funny. I think you should tell it.
Please.
Yeah.
I think you should tell it. Okay. When we travel, I think our hair for both of us is kind of it's very signature for both of us. Right. So when you don't see our hair, I think a lot of people don't recognize us. There have been times where like even AK's pulled up to pick me up at the airport. And it's like, my hair is like, let's say I have my hair like in a bun or I have my hair braided down. I have a hat on where she'll like have to like look towards me like, oh, there you are. And same with her. I think without, like, for real, we put a hat on and we become the guy from You. Like, you can't see us.
Right.
And so we one day are getting ready. We were having a show in Kentucky, but it was kind of like Southern Kentucky where it was closer to flying to Nashville. So we fly into Nashville and there's like a text thread going on of like, hey, there's a van picking people up, like, wait by this thing and you'll get picked up. So we're like, cool, perfect. We go stand there and it's like the two of us, Colby, Carino, and maybe like, I think that was it. I don't think there was anybody else with us. And James, Father James. So, you know, we walk up and we're like, hello. And he's like, hi. But he's like, tinkering on his phone or whatever. So we said hello and kept it moving. We get on the bus and we're on this text thread. And so he's texting everybody and he's like, yeah, I'm on the bus with Cody and two girls. And he just kept saying Cody and two girls, two girls, two girls. And we're like, first of all, it's Colby. And like, we're like, he knows who we are, right? Like, he has to know who we are. Fine, whatever. Flash forward to us showing up at Impact and being told that we're being paired up with him. He sees us, gets the biggest freaking smile on his face, runs up to us, and he's like, the heck, my girls, I love you guys. And we're like, oh, now we're your girls. Like 5 or 6 months ago, we were two random girls on a bus. But now he's like, my girls.
My girls.
Think he was even like, yes, exactly. And we're like, hello, Father James. Like, we love him. I've always heard so many interesting, even that trip, everybody was kind of hanging out in the lobby and just like listening to him tell stories. I feel like everybody has a night of where like, they just sat around him and listened to him tell stories. It was very fun. We did have a lot of fun, but I feel like that's like, just like what we always like just revert back to where like this man did not know who we were a few months ago. Cause we had hats on and then now he's like, my girls. We're like, yes, sir. Yes. Yes. Your girls.
He always referred to me as his meal ticket.
Oh yeah.
he's a cool human, but if the devil were in a human form, it would be him.
I hear that often. I hear that on the side of like just having wild stories and just like, the stories that I've heard from like other wrestlers are like some of the stories that are just like, are you serious? Like this happened to the same person. Like this same man has lived all of his lives. Like it's pretty, it's pretty fun to hear.
He made the NWA go viral for a while too, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, he sure did. Sure did. And you know what? I don't know who else it would have been.
Right.
That could have done that. So.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Sure.
That was perfect.
Yeah, so.
I mean, Wolfie related. Never mind. We'll go on. Yeah.
We'll just say that I've seen that situation before.
It does not surprise me.
It looked very authentic.
Yes, he looked very
at home.
Very comfortable. Yes.
Let's take a quick time out and get a word from one of my dope-ass sponsors, and we'll be right back with more Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
Hey folks, this is Wolfie D here. And if you are looking to buy or sell a home in Tennessee or Southern Kentucky, you're gonna wanna call my buddy, the rock star realtor, Benji Bowie. And you say, Wolfie, how do I get in touch with this rock star? Well, you can call him directly at 615-390-8216. You can go to his website, BowieHomes.com. That's BUIEHomes.com. Or you can email him at BenBowie34@gmail.com. When you need a home, you need the Rockstar Realtor.
Benji is a member of Exit Realty's Garden Gate team in Gallatin, Tennessee. Support for Live and in Color with Wolfie D is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code WOLFIE at manscaped.com. If my math's correct, that's about 8 million balls.
Hot tag, Jimmy, hot tag.
I'm coming in with the hot tag, the name, the Hex. Where did that come from?
Oh, you tell this. That really came from a brainstorm session that Marty and I had on the phone when we decided we wanted to be a tag team. I actually started writing down a bunch of names on the napkin. Did I tell you I found the napkin, Marty?
Oh, let's hear them.
I didn't know you still had it. I need a picture I had of that. We need to frame that.
Yeah, tweet that.
And a paper towel I just started writing on, and we started coming up with all these hex puns and a bunch of different words too that we were just kind of throwing against the wall. And we came up with so many different, like the Hex Effect and the Hex Express and things like that. And we're like, why don't we just be the Hex? And those can be all of our moves.
Yeah.
And so then we just obsessed with hex puns.
I love it.
And then, like a year into us being a team, I told my ex, who I have like a really good relationship with, like we're still good friends with. I told him about, like, we're talking about that. He's like, oh yeah, that name is perfect, because the two of you look like women who would fuck someone's life up. And we're like, oh, yeah, you're right. Hell yeah. He said that's why he thought. He's like, yeah, I see it. That makes sense. And we're like, okay, hell yeah.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
So it had nothing to do with, I saw there was a video game called The Hex that was pretty popular in like 2018 or something. You know anything about that?
No. Oh.
No.
I have no idea about that. We have been asked about the Hex Girls. I think was that Scooby Doo?
Right, right.
Yeah, the Hex Girls
something
from?
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah, we've
like
been
that.
Asked about that. No, we just I really do want to take a look at that napkin again and see what the other. It literally was just, it was during quarantine. We had no idea what the heck was going to happen. Like we didn't know what wrestling was going to look like when we came back to it.
Yeah.
And we had just finished we had just had sort of a little mini feud at NWA. It wasn't really like, it was a very, very mini feud. It wasn't, and it was kind of left open-ended as to like where our friendship was going to go at NWA. And we had no idea, like, are we going to have shows again? Is it going to be different? Is it going to be like no fans going forward? We just had no idea what the world was going to look like.
Yeah.
And so we were like, what do we want to do with wrestling? We want to travel together. We want to have fun together. Allison is also really good at like figuring out what is needed. And she realized like, we need tag teams. There's just not enough women tag teams.
Yeah.
And we both love tag team wrestling. We both have been in tag teams before. Anybody who's ever been in a tag team can tell you that tag team wrestling is its own language. It is so different. Like anytime we have a match with anybody who's not in a tag team, like you can tell, you can just tell when they're not in a tag team. And like, you know, not for nothing, but I think that we both speak tag team wrestling pretty well.
That's
and
awesome.
So it just kind of made sense. And I think part of what has made the Hex so successful is that we are legitimately best friends. We are partners in our business. We do everything together. We look out for each other always. And that chemistry is there organically. You have tag teams that are just thrown together and they don't like each other. They don't want to be around each other, or there's just no chemistry. But I think with us, one of the biggest compliments we get is people come up to us and they're like, you guys look like you're having so much fun. And we're like, yeah, we are. Like, even if it's a fucky situation or it's like a weird match or whatever, we're going to have fun because we know we're going to get through it together.
Yeah.
And I think that helps a lot.
Definitely. Yeah.
I hope you find the napkin. I'd like to share with you how I came up with the name PG-13. It was very simple, similar, except I was sitting on the toilet with a with a notepad, and I'm sitting there scratching it. And like you said something about the Hex Express, I had the Hip Hop Express. I had Parental Discretion is Advised. That's where I actually came up with PG-13, was the NWA song, Parental Discretion is Advised for the Moment. And so that made me think PG-13. And I'd never, that I know of, I don't think there's been any other team with initials like that for a name or whatever, and numbers.
No.
But yeah, very similar.
Not that I can think of, yeah.
I thought of a lot of good stuff on the commode during my time. It's the throne.
Yeah.
But yeah, tag team wrestling is definitely, and for a moment, man, I kind of felt like tag team wrestling was becoming a lost art, because like you just said, you can tell, you know, you can put two people in there and against two other people, and if they ain't a team, it just don't come off the same, you know?
Yeah. And you know, go ahead. What you were going to say, because I was just about to put us over. So we can be a little bit more modest for a little while. Whatever you were going to say.
No, I was just going to say, it does still feel like that to me too. I still feel like it kind of feels like a lost art. It's not that no one is doing it well. It's just that it doesn't feel like it's highlighted like it should be. Especially for women's tag wrestling.
Amen.
Like across the board, on national television or the Indies, there just isn't it doesn't feel like there is a solid tag team division for the women, especially right now.
Yeah. You're exactly right. Agree. So I've got a quick thing. One of our awesome listener, always sending in questions, Ben Martin. And Allison, you may know Ben.
Yeah,
he's a big fan of women's wrestling. And so he gave me this question or information, Wolfie. So, Wolfie, did you know that Allison Kay was involved in the first ever all-female War Games match years before they did it in NXT? He thinks it was at WSU in around 2009. It was the Midwest Militia, Jessica Havoc, Allison Kay, and he puts in quotations, "My girls" and "Sassy" versus Mercedes Martinez, Alicia, and Brittany Savage. So, yeah.
Yep. That is correct.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
Maybe 2011. But okay. Yes, other than that, he got correct. That was, we had a War Games match in WSU. Midwest Militia was, we basically formed because that car was driving from the Midwest, from Detroit and Michigan and Ohio, all the way over to New Jersey, New York, where those shows were running at the time. And the Mick, who was running WSU, was like, well, y'all need to be a stable. And he put us together as the Midwest Militia. And that was the first ever War Games match. It involved a machete. It was great. And I know that there were a lot of diehard indie fans, WSU fans, when NXT was like, this is the first ever women's War Games.
Right.
There were a lot of people like Ben that were like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
So I never heard anything about it. I never I'm not going to get into it. But I appreciated the people who knew. If you know, you know.
Yeah. He even said that he believes Marty was also on that show, if he's not mistaken.
I was on the show. It was WSU. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's my go-to.
I was not in the match, but I was in the show.
He's my go-to when I want to ask a question about ladies wrestling. I love it. So he's so intelligent about all wrestling, but he's a great listener. Thank you, Ben, for that question. And
Ben is great. We love you, Ben.
Oh, he's going to pop for that. So, I'm going to go into this. So, did you know that these girls have something in common with Ella Waldeck and Mae Young? Did you know that, Wolfie?
No, I didn't.
They are both NWA Women's Tag Team Champions. And now Ella and Mae did it in the 50s, and I think they were the first women's tag team champs. Mm-hmm. But y'all were the best, right? The Hex.
I mean, I'm going to say you forgot it's the Women's World Tag Team Champion.
I'm so sorry. Sorry.
And we took the world part very, very seriously. Yeah. And as soon as we won that, we were like, we are going to be fighting champions. We are going to be defending this all over the world. And I mean, we only did North America and Europe, but we were the first ones to ever defend the title in England And we were going to be the first ones to ever defend it in Portugal. And unfortunately, we're not able to get to Portugal due to just some issues at the airport on their part.
Wow.
COVID-related issues, unfortunately. And I also believe that as of now, we are the longest reigning tag team champions of the new generation.
World tag team champions.
Yes, the new world tag team champions.
I think it's awesome.
Very important.
Yeah. Very cool. And Allison is also, she's a one-time NWA world women's champion, and she's also a two-time TNA Knockouts World champion. No, I'm just kidding, but no, that's very cool. I mean, I love all that. I think that's very cool. So, got a lot of stuff to carry around though, right? Is that?
I know that was the worst part. There was one point, Marty and I had three tag team championships at the same time. Okay, we had the NWA Women's World Tag Team Champions. We had the Shine Tag Team Champion.
The Shine.
They didn't call it the world one.
No, that was not a world one. But
the Pro Wrestling Eve Tag Team Championships, we also won over in England.
Wow.
So we had three championships at one time, and your bags get heavy.
I mean, we are happy. We will gladly take all of the gold. We will take all of it. But really does. It does make you think, like, somebody like Cardona, I'm like, how does he bring his belt around? Like, how does he carry all the championships? I don't understand. Like, especially if I'm assuming he doesn't travel with all of them.
Yeah.
But I mean, for like a convention, you'd want to bring as many as possible to get,
of course.
I'm sure fans want to get pictures with stuff. So like, what do you do? Cause I would, we would never check our titles ever.
No.
You don't check the titles ever.
Right. That's a nightmare, right? Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then at the airport, it's like, these are such like small, like these are literally such small, like first world problems. But at the airport, it's always like, okay, you'll ask like TSA, like, hey, I have something in my bag. It's a title belt. And it's got metal on it. Should I take it out of my bag? And they're like, no, don't take it out of your bag. It's fine. And then it goes through and it goes off. So they pull your bag. So the next time you pull it out of your bag and then they're like, what are you doing? What is that? Are you chat? What is that? What? And like, you're getting all these questions once again, as I'm standing there in like my t-shirt and my, my baseball cap. And it's always an interesting, it's always fun. One thing I will say, I feel like female TSA agents are always the most excited to see us with like titles in our bags. They're always like the most stoked. And I'm like, hell yeah, girl. High five.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I've always learned to, especially when I had an actual bag for the belt, it was great because I would automatically just pull it out and put it through the scanner separately because I know it appears as a big black blob.
Right.
Their x-ray machine will pull it. And it's funny because I had the same thing happen where I pulled it out of my bag and he's trying to tell me because I'm going through pre-check. He's like, you don't have to take anything out of your bag. And he like had an attitude about it. And I was like, no, I do. And then I put it through and then he's looking at it and he's like, oh, okay. I'm like, yeah, I know what the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's like Road Dogg said, they just wore them in the airport. The New Age Outlaws. That is funny.
And I'm not looking to like knock anybody or name names like that.
Here we go.
No, let me finish. Me coming up in the, I broke in 1989 at the end of it, in 1990, whatever. I've seen some fucked up shit in this business, in the dressing rooms and all that kind of stuff. And with the recent stuff on Vince and everything, I believe, I always learned to believe none of what you hear and only half of what you see. But at the same time, I know crazy shit goes on. And as far as female wrestlers go, I could only imagine the type of shit you guys have had to deal with. And like I said, I'm not looking for names or anything like that. But has the culture changed enough to where, like, surely to God, like breaking in, you probably got, harassed and shit like that. Would it be more from the wrestlers or the fans? Or do you feel where I'm going with this? Like I said, I'm not trying to get you to knock anybody or tell anybody, but I just want to know kind of what the culture is nowadays as opposed to maybe when you first got in.
Something that maybe.
Go ahead,
AK. I feel like I've been talking the entire time, so please.
I was just going to say, I think it's definitely gotten better. So much has happened that it's of course not perfect. Like, there's still a lot of fucked up shit going on, but it has absolutely gotten better because of people coming forward and calling things out. I think that it is making it a safer place. It's just going to be a very slow and steady process, but yeah, from when I started in 2008 is when I started training up until now, like night and day difference, I would say. And I'm sure Marty, you would agree. It feels like I wrestled in two different generations from when I started and how it is now. It's just a completely different landscape for women's wrestling. And though I will also say, I feel like I've been very fortunate for the most part.
Yes.
Especially coming up. I feel like I was in a very good environment when I started training.
Yeah.
It was really just me and one other girl, but the guys did not mess with us. They respected us. We're also two tall girls, and I think they saw how we were just like beating the shit out of each other, so they didn't want to fuck with us. But for the most part,
I think,
go ahead, Marty.
I think, like I said before, I really do think that me and AK have always just lived like parallel lives. I also came up in a school where I was taken care of. Like the guys, I was their little sister, and I was taken care of. And on road trips, I was taken care of. And there was only one other girl in my school that that stuck around for a long time. And her and I, to this day, are still very good friends. Because we had each other's backs. And then I think AK and I were both very fortunate in the fact that we surrounded ourselves with like awesome women that also I feel like people always assume like, oh, it's a bunch of girls together. It's a bunch of cattiness and this and that. And we're like, no, we had really good experiences with most of the girls that we came up with. Obviously there's always going to be somebody that you're like, I don't really talk to this person anymore. But I think for the most part, we are still really good friends with everybody that we came up with. Because we all took care of each other. We all had each other's backs. And I think, you know, there's always safety in numbers. And I think a lot of fans feel sometimes like they can, because of social media, people can say things and there's no consequence. But even then, I feel like a lot of that, it's so easy to just delete a comment and not give them any attention. You know, don't feed the troll. And I will say that both of us have had, And it sucks to say like, oh, we've been fortunate to not be harassed. But I think that that's also why we try, like whatever locker room we're in. And I'm going to like put us over for a second, because this was the biggest compliment that I think I've gotten in almost my entire career and my life. Somebody a few months ago, we were talking to a girl who'd had like a rough night before, just like, you know, she was like crying, just like personal stuff, like nothing crazy. But, you know, she had a moment the night before and she was like apologizing to me and AK about it. And I was like, girl, no problem. Like, it's not a big deal. And then somebody else, Camille, and if anybody knows Camille, Camille's tough. Camille's a badass. And she walked by and kind of saw what was happening. She's like, oh, are you okay? And we're like, yeah, you know, she just had a little moment last night. And she's like, oh, well, if there's anybody you can trust, it's Marty and AK. Like, you know, you can trust them. And I feel like that to me was just like one of the biggest compliments that I've gotten in and out of wrestling, because that's something that we have always strived. I feel like I'm just talking for her. Allison has always said, like, you want to leave the business better than you found it. And I feel like that is our, when it comes to like the women and even the guys, if there's like a young man that needs help or like, you know, needs guidance, like we're happy to help. We're happy to do whatever we can. But I think especially for the women, we love the fact that that people can feel safe around us, because that's really important. And we had that coming up. And so I'm glad that there are girls that feel like they can come to us with stuff. Cause that's just, I'm telling you, like, that was just one of the biggest compliments that anybody has ever, ever paid me.
Yeah.
And now I'm done putting us over.
No, you're good. I always talk for me. You already know, you can always talk for me. And going back to what you asked about like between wrestlers and fans, this is just for me personally. I cannot speak for everyone, because obviously, you know, not that we haven't seen some shit or experienced some shit or know about some shit, but overall, I would say that I am more afraid of fans than I am wrestlers, for sure. When it comes to like being harassed, stalked, things like that, I was much more worried about fans and the things that fans have said or done. The messages that we get are insane.
I can't imagine y'all's DMs. I'm serious. I'm sorry for that, you know.
It gets really scary. It gets really scary, legitimately. And sure, every now and then, like a wrestler will try to slip into your DMs or whatever. But for the most part, once again, this isn't a 100% thing, but for the most part, in my experience, the guys do not fuck with me. I think they just know better. I think I've built a reputation for myself.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, overall. But the fans, on the other hand, some fans are just not well. And it can get very scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
No doubt. You know, about 10 or 11 years ago, I was a manager in the business for a little bit. It's how I met Wolfie. And we were on a show together called NWA Saw. This was Bruce Tharp before Billy took over. And Jordan Grace and Sarah Logan worked on that show. And they worked a great match. It was the first time I'd ever seen the girls. They come to the back and I'm so stoked. I'm like, oh my God, that was the best match of the night. That might be one of the best matches ever in this whole building, you know. And I was putting them over kind of really hard, like really kind of like, oh my God, that was amazing. And they're just like timid and like, what the hell is, and I'm like, and it took me like 5 or so years to get some perspective on like, okay, I'm this like 6'2" dude coming at them all excited in a suit that is also on the show. But then I'm thinking, they don't get to dress in the locker room. They have to go to the women's restroom to change because they're the only two girls on the show. And it was just like kind of I got some perspective on like why I felt like they were like, I was going crazy on them or something, but they were all timid and like, and I can think of Jordan Grace as somebody who would just punch me in the mouth right now. You know what I mean? if I said something wrong. But my point of that is like, I understand that there's definitely been some hoops you've had to jump through, but now I hope that things are, you know, much more on an even keel. And as far as like you, girls and guys, I hope there's an equal treatment, I should say. So,
and Jimmy now understands what it's like to be a creeper is what he's trying to say.
I wasn't trying to creep. I was trying to compliment, but I understand that they probably have dealt with that. And I'm like, okay.
So yeah, you can see why somebody would be timid or somebody would be hesitant or kind of just being like,
totally. Yeah.
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 But yeah, I think things are a lot closer to being equal, but we still have a long ways to go.
Sure. Yeah. Where do you think I don't want to put you like in a spot, Allison, but like, where do you think is something that could be fixed right now that would be so much better for things? What do you have a couple things?
I'm going to say something real quick. I just think the Hex having a full-time deal somewhere.
Yeah. There you go.
That. besides that? Oh, okay. Sorry. Besides that, AK, you had something to actually say, but sorry. Yes. Besides that.
We manifest in it over here.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, I would say we need some more depth in the women's storylines. We need women's storylines that are not just an afterthought. Because as much as I feel like we're getting closer and closer to being equal, we certainly are still not. And it definitely feels like in a lot of companies that the women are just an afterthought. Like it's just a thrown together kind of thing. Maybe a program that lasts like 2 weeks to a month, maybe, and that's it. But no like long-term stories. No, like, I don't know. That's just my opinion, of course. And honestly, I could say a lot for just wrestling in general. Sometimes it does feel like only, you know, those two top guys get like a really long storyline or something. And then everyone else is just kind of like, meh. But it trickles down even more so, or less, I should say, I guess, for the women, it feels like.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, go ahead, Wolf.
And moving forward, you guys, and in your careers, besides getting signed to a long-term deal somewhere, what do you guys see in store for the both of you together as a team?
I mean, we have so many ideas that transcend wrestling. I think, I don't know if that's what you were going to say, because we often say things together at the same time. We have a lot of ideas that do transcend wrestling, and I think... you know, a lot of them are just ideas of things that we've thrown about and written on napkins and stuff. And I think that maybe this is, we keep talking about it. And I feel like this is the year that we're going to start putting a lot of those things into play and some things outside of wrestling. And I just think, I think both of us are just very creative, especially when we're together. I feel like I'm creative in a very different way than Allison is. But when we're together, it kind of like meshes well and it meshes perfectly. And so I think I would say that would be one of them for me.
Cool.
Absolutely. I think that we just want to go everywhere and do everything.
Yeah.
I think that's a very big answer.
Yes. No, that's a very true answer for us. Yeah.
But I swear, well, we already know we want to travel everywhere together. Like, that's just a given for us. But I swear I never, like, just put us over as much as we've been putting ourselves over today. But we really do have such good chemistry together. And I feel like we have just a certain element that not everyone can do. Like, I was telling her recently, like, sure, we could be like, hey, let's start a podcast. But I feel like everyone and their grandma, you know what I'm saying, can start a podcast or whatever. I feel like with us, we're good on camera. We're good on the fly. We're good live. We have these elements that we can use. Let's use them. Mm-hmm. And we have a chemistry that not everyone has. I feel like we have that perfect, like, odd couple chemistry almost. Because, yes, we live parallel lives, but also we're so opposite in so many ways, but in ways that complement the other.
Complement.
And I feel like, yes. And I just feel like, we have something special and we have to figure out how to utilize it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the equation, right, Wolfie? I mean, speaking, you know.
And if you're not going to put yourself over, who is, by God?
Exactly.
Right.
Please. Yeah. That's the whole reason we're bringing you on here, is to put yourselves over. That's
right. Yeah. Where can the fans and whoever else, where can they find your merchandise? How can they book you? How can they see you on social media?
So I think the easiest for both of us is exactly what we were just, AllisonK.com and MargieBell.com. Allison is AllisyN, Marty Bell is MartiBelle.com. There you can find our social medias, our websites. Honestly, AK has an amazing, incredible website. And if you ever want to reach me, you can message me through her website. Let me know. I think a lot of times people want to book us. I just say, go to her website. Her website is cleaner than mine. You can reach us through there. You can find our social medias, our OnlyFans, our Patreons, all of that you can find through those websites. I feel like we're both most active on Instagram, but Allison is also very, very active on Twitch. And on YouTube. So you definitely want to check out both of those on hers.
For sure. Yeah. Thanks. And Tony and Hunter, y'all go check out those websites, because those girls need to be working for you immediately.
So. For sure.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you guys taking time out of your day and talking to us. And it's been a good conversation. We learned some things, didn't we, Jimmy?
We did. We're smarter now. Yay. That's awesome. Yeah. You know?
Good.
Been in the business for over 30 years.
Thank you guys so much for having us.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need a young lady to come out here and tell you things.
Straighten us out. That's it. I mean, I did have the light bulb. Yeah, we do. Yeah. I mean, seriously, I did have a light bulb today. And whenever you think you stop getting those, you're like, okay, but every other show I get one from Wolfie, but you know, it's nice when you learn. Thank you all.
Was that kind of like your Jerry Springer wrap up at the end, or your G.I. Joe?
Yeah.
The thoughts for the day, the more you know.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to be back with Ask Wolfie D Anything. Thank you again, Hex, for coming on and chit-chatting with us today. We will be right back.
Oh, thank you all so much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it, y'all. Very good. Very good.
All right, we are back with more from the Ask Wolfie D Anything, and Wolfie D, the Hex, are they cool? Marty Bell, Allison K, very cool.
Yeah, very cool. And nice interview, nice change of pace for us, you know, with, you know, seeing some different perspectives from a woman's point of view.
Yeah.
In the business. So that's always, cool to have a different perspective.
Definitely. And these girls have got it going together. They've got all the professional levels of stuff you need, from, you know, pro wrestling tees to OnlyFans to whatever they've got. They've got it together and figured out, and good for them.
Absolutely.
You know, making that money, you know. So
But yeah, we had a, you know, had a good conversation with those girls. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So we got a few questions here today. The first one is a good one. I'm happy about this one. This is from Freshie Johnson. He's a great listener of ours. He says, regarding cage matches, do you prefer a winner by pinfall / submission or a win by escaping the cage? So I am so impressed by the guest you host. I'm 33 from Buffalo. I haven't heard of a lot of the wrestlers you have on the show, and I'm extremely entertained. And I love the episodes where it's just Wolfie and Big Jimbo talking. So now I've got another nickname, Big Jimbo.
Big Jimbo. Well, to address the question, Big Jimbo, I've never liked the escape thing. Because that's the point of the cage to me, was that no one could get in or out. That's the reason they used to put up the cage, was, you know, because, you know, the interference was happening and that would be the blow off. No one can interfere. No one can escape. But then the object suddenly was to escape.
Right.
I like the pinfall type cage.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm agreeing with you 100% on that.
There's so many, and you see that with the escape matches, there's so many opportunities for someone to get out. You go, why wouldn't you just get out now? You know, it's like,
right,
ding, 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 fucking run for the top or run for the door or whatever. I don't know. It adds an element that I don't really particularly care for.
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while, your opponent's selling down. They're down on the ground. You could run through the, you know, whatever. Yeah. You could run through the door if the ref's standing there, you know. But instead, they've stayed around because they hate them so much they want to afflict more damage, you know. And it's like, no, you want to win. I don't care, you know. But,
yeah,
I agree. I think that the escape thing is garbage. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it also, anything off the top of the cage is dumb, because why wouldn't you just jump down?
Right. You're so halfway there.
Still selling on the ground. You got time to get the rest of the way down. So.
Right. It's not like they're going to be able to jump up and grab your last, you know, middle finger as it drops down or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's definitely flaws that if you look deeper at any part of wrestling, there's ways to pick it apart, obviously, right?
Sure. Yeah.
But, you know, when it comes down to it, come on, you know.
Make it make sense.
Yes, make it make sense, exactly. Yeah. Well, thank you for that question, Freshie. Definitely a cool question. We definitely appreciate that. And we've got another one here from Champagne on Twitter. Yes, and it's Champagne. It's not like the
right.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah, I didn't get it. So anyway, but how long does it take to get ring rust off?
I'd say it depends on the person, first of all, and how good they are, how long you've been out. Because, you know, I think we talked with Rip about ring shape. You know, you can do all the working out and all the cardio you want, but there's ring shape, and there's no other way to get it but by being in the ring.
Right.
So that's a factor. But, you know, just as far as, I don't know, man, I guess it just, like I said, it depends on the person, and then how long they've been out and what the situation is. Age would be another thing. So, yeah, a whole lot of variables there that it's really hard to say. Well, it takes 32 days.
To be exact. Yeah. I mean, let's just say you never got hurt when you were younger, though, did you, really?
Well, I got hurt, yeah. But, I mean, I had to work through a lot of it.
Right. Because, I mean, again, it's that ring rust thing has always been kind of a misnomer, right? It's always been kind of not a perfect description, because it's not, it's almost like building up your ring callus, right?
Yeah.
Because when you're taking those bumps and you're going into the ropes with the ferocity that you all used to do it, you know, that's where it's at. It's like you're building up your ring callus almost.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
You know.
that's a different terminology, but I know what you mean. I think you mean because you're a musician, you're right. Talking about the little calluses on your fingers and stuff.
Exactly.
Playing guitars.
Yeah. Yes. And, yes.
So yeah, I guess if you quit for a while, you got to build those back.
Oh, up. It's brutal. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, just like I said, more than anything, it's just your cardio in ring, your ability to, you know, take the bumps and not feel them too much and being able to feel the crowd again, you know?
Sure. Yeah. It's a lot of things. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. And that makes sense. But I mean, let's just say, what was your first injury in wrestling? Do you remember?
Oh, Lord. That like made me not be able to wrestle for a minute.
Yeah. That made you take you out for a second.
Maybe a shoulder, but I swear, man, most of the stuff that would happen to me, I just had to work around it because I wasn't really going to take my time off. maybe my foot, my ankle, that one was pretty devastating. And then my shoulder was too, but I just found ways to work around it. And see, when you're a tag team, your partner can help you out a little bit, you know?
Right. Yeah. So it kind of delays the inevitable, right? Being a tag team partner. It can. Yeah, that makes sense. So it kind of pads the blow and maybe you can work through it even longer because of being a tag team partner. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. That makes sense. I was just going to you think like, let's just say if you. You know, now I'm just thinking of somebody like CM Punk, okay? Because when he comes back, he's in his mid-40s, I would assume. I don't know his exact age, but I'm guessing. Looks like he's in his 50s, but brother, don't believe in preservatives. But anyway, I just can imagine that for his age, the ring rust might come off a little.
But I'll say this, too. I saw him on the pre-WrestleMania show, whatever it is, the press conference.
Yeah.
And his brace that he had on his arm is movable. So I'm not sure what his exact injury was. I know they called it torn tricep, but I know mine was a complete rupture of the tendon, like complete rupture, meaning the tendon split off and gone, you know, it had to be completely reattached.
Right.
Now, I don't know, did he tear the muscle partially? You know, I don't understand, just because I've gone through it, how he would already be in a brace and then moving his arm around, unless it was a partial or muscle tear. It ain't the same thing I had, I promise that. And my point in saying that was, they're saying 4 to 6 weeks. Hell no.
Yeah.
Not for what I went through, unless he's just got some miracle doctors or some shit, but I'm not even buying that, man. I know what that's like. And, you know, I was in a cast at different intervals, you know, the 2 weeks straight, 2 weeks they bent it a little bit more, put another cast on it, 2 weeks they bent it a little bit more. It was like 10 weeks total just in a cast. Man. So, and then you got to rehab it. And it still wasn't right for a long time. Yeah. So I'm thinking his tricep tear may not have been a complete rupture. But I'm guessing just by the time frame and the way he's moving around.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, hey, I guess we'll see. But he's Anyway, the question. Thank you for the question. We definitely appreciate that. I was just curious as to maybe if it was like a week, if you were steady going at it about a week or, you know, something like that. But I appreciate the answer. Thank you, Wolf. All right. So the third one and final one we've got here is Cause Effect on Instagram. And he says, what's the most messed up you've seen someone that worked totally fine? So brother is gone in the wind mentally, but when they get in that ring, they're like smooth as silk somewhat.
Oh man. Me? I believe I've done that once or twice. I don't know the answer to that, man. Because
you never know.
I'll just say the W locker room was full of people that were 10 shits to the wind. Or I've seen Tommy do it. I mean, just a number of people I've seen gimmicked up and go out there and do it. And like I said, I'll take the heat first and say I've done it. You know,
you're right.
Probably had business out there, but was able to pull it off. And I'm not proud of stuff like that either. I don't want this to be like, when I say stuff like that, I don't want it to be like, oh yeah, I think I'm cool because I can do that, because I look back on it, I go, God, what a jack off.
Right. Right.
It is what it is. I did it, you know, whatever.
It was definitely something that you did, right? It was definitely something that you did.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, there's funny.
Been times when I know that my opponent may not have been real happy about it, but we got
through. Yeah.
I did it with Lawler one time. He wasn't real happy, but we got through it.
Right, right. I can see Lawler in a way not – I can see him, because he's a teetotaler, right? He don't do nothing.
Yeah.
And I can see him taking a real offense to that. Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God. But
I promise you, I'm not the first person he's ever been in the ring like
that stuff. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Well, good for you, man. Good for Tommy. Good for whoever. But, yeah. You survived. But, anyway, yeah, that was a good question. Thank you, Cause Effect. I don't think there's anything else to answer today, brother. We made it through. So.
Right on, man. Well, again, we appreciate the Hex for coming on. It was a great interview. New perspectives.
Yes.
We will see, because we ain't got nothing booked yet, but we'll see what we got coming up for next week.
Yeah. Who do we have?
I think I'm passing the book to you this week.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. We'll see what we can do then.
All right, so thanks for listening, and tune in again next week.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, the podcast that's based on the old school but can still help you find the good stuff from today. Jimmy Street and the Plastic Sheik, Jared, are the undisputed tag team champions of the wrestling podcast world. From thought-provoking topics to superstar interviews to action figure expertise, this team does it all. And all they ask is, Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling! Every other Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Join me, Gene Jackson, for the Jackson Interaction Podcast, where I'll be doing one-on-one interviews with people from the world of professional wrestling, as well as stand-up comedy. You can get them anywhere podcasts are available in both video and audio form, but you can find them all at GeneJacksonPod.com.
That's right, it's the talk of Middle Tennessee, the channel you love to hate and the channel you hate to love. It's Brian Turner from Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. And if you're looking for matches from Wolfie D to Jerry Lawler to Dusty Rhodes and the team that put a pimp before your eyes and a goatee between your thighs, Boudicca and Athena, go to LostWrestling.com. See, I made it easy for you. Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. Booyah!
So that was another great episode. Hey, Wolfie, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Jimmy, they can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. I'm just kidding. They can find me on Facebook. My personal page is Warren Wolf, W-O-L-F-E. I'm on Instagram, at WarrenWolf13.
You can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, at Live Wolfie D. Here's the thing. Wolfie always has offers for his autographed photos. He has a selection of some awesome photos from throughout his career that he will autograph and personalize any way that you want him to. Just contact him either directly at his personal Facebook page or through any one of our other pages, and we'll make sure you get in contact directly with Wolfie. Get those photos, right, Wolfie?
Yeah, I've got some good stuff on there, you know, to help with the podcast.
Folks, if you can't get out to a show to meet Wolfie D, there's nothing like that, especially for the fans of PG-13 and Wolfie D. And before we go, you can always find me, your host, Jimmy Street, at James Rock Street on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
And hey, Jimmy, before we go real quick, I just want to add in there, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate, first of all, the work you've done for this podcast. You have worked your butt off. Secondly, the people that are liking the page. Beyond that, even more, is the people that are listening. And we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and remember, guys, the podcast drops a new episode every Monday at noon, and our past episodes are streaming now on demand on all major podcast formats. Thanks again. I got a cat for you.
you don't.
He got a cap for your dome.
I got a cap for your dome.
He got a cap for your dome.
You don't.
He got a cap for your dome.
And here we go. The original white boy that came out sagging, not bragging, don't be hating, cause I'm spitting the truth. Still livin' in color. From Rush, your mother, utilize a hubcap. I'm like enemy other. Back in the day, I was N.O.D. and I was P to the G plus the 1 and the 3. In case you forgot, they call me Wolfie D. Been cloned and copied so many times. Tired of suckers taking credit for what is mine. You know who you are without me name dropping. Wrestling's first white boy coming out hip hop. Been doing it like this since 92. Laid low for a while and you thought I was through. Listen real close to these rhymes that I've injected. This shit's so sick it makes your ears get infected. Mad skills, no faking, there is no one great. Cause I'm bringing more folks from over one board later. Not here to play games, so you better beware. You don't like me, so what?
I really don't care.
Like time I keep ticking and I can't be stopped. You suck a step to the side unless you wanna get dropped. When I finish, I'll straight knock you out. Please allow me to tell you what it's all about. I'm gonna wind it up, then I'm driving it home. It's Wolfie D, baby. Huh, I got a cap for your dome.
I got a cap for your dome. We got a cap for your dome. We got a cap for your dome.
This has been a James Rock Street production.